Welcome to this broadcast of Truth for Today, sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church. I'm your moderator, Kai Repsholt, and we will be looking at our study of Ephesians, the seventh part of our study of Ephesians, which subtitled God's New Society. And I've taken that subtitle from a book by that title by James Stott, which is in fact a expositional book on the book of Ephesians, which I strongly recommend to anyone who wants a deeper understanding of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Today we'll be working in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. But before we jump in, let me do a quick summary of chapters 1 through 3. If you're just joining us for the first time, Paul relates the vision he received from God of a new society in chapters 1 through 3, a society where alienation from God and from each other changes to reconciliation. A divided humanity changes into being united in Christ, and the creation of a new society of redeemed and sanctified people. That is what Paul wrote about in chapters 1 through 3. Now we're entering into chapter 4, where Paul begins to detail the new standards of attitude and behavior that God expects of this new society. And before we go into the details, let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we ask that you through the Holy Spirit, work in our lives to understand the truth and to see how it applies to us personally, where our attitudes and our behaviors may need to change to meet the new standards that you are created. We know that we can only succeed in this through the power of the Spirit, and so we look to that and with expectation because of your faithfulness to accomplish. Amen. Okay, chapter 4 of Ephesians. We'll start with verses 1 through 6. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called with one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, what is this calling he talks about? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. What is this calling? Well, he explains, as we'll see, that this calling has to do with unity and with purity. Two aspects of this calling. In another place in Philippians, Paul uses this phraseology again, and he calls it the upward call in Christ Jesus. And that is this process, empowered and led by the Holy Spirit, of having our characters changed so that we become like the character of Christ. The calling also includes that these characteristics be made visible through actions and verbal testimony. Now, this conduct, he goes on here, is characterized by love. And every time we come across this word, in one of my studies, I always stop to talk about this because love is a very misunderstood word in our culture. Plus the fact that there are four Greek words used in the scriptures that are all translated into the English word love, which adds to the confusion. But the Greeks were very careful in their language, and they were desiring great specificity and detail. So they would, if they found a new nuance of meaning, instead of lumping it in together with this word that already existed, they would make a new word. And so English is not like that, so we have that challenge. So let me explain that this is God's love. God's love has nothing to do with emotion. There's another Greek word for that. It has nothing to do with romance. There's another Greek word for that. Okay. No, this love is, my working definition, is doing what is good for another person regardless of how they treat you. Notice there's no emotion associated with that. It's just a decision to do what is good, regardless of how you're treated. Now, these other words are all manifestations of that basic love. And he uses the word in verse 2 of humility. It's another word that I think is misunderstood in our culture. We need to fully realize what the scripture writer was trying to communicate. And humility is recognizing our true status in creation, where we are in God's created order, and recognizing the value of others. Now, you can have arrogance where you elevate yourself above your true status, and you can have false humility where you denigrate yourself and lower yourself below your true status, neither of which is true humility. He uses the next word he uses here is gentleness. That's a, gentleness is usually in our culture a parallel word for weakness. Some of the older translations use the word meek or meekness, and that always seems to, in our culture, intimate weakness. But that is not what the Greek word means. The Greek word means strength under control. The next word he uses is patience. Patience is suffering a long time, especially towards aggravating people. And tolerance. We hear that word a lot these days. Tolerance. Okay, tolerance is accepting differences of opinion in how things are done. Okay? Tolerance. So I saw something today that said that if you only show tolerance for people who think the same way you do, then you're not really tolerant at all. So then he goes on to exhort the importance of unity. And the emphasis here is our unity is in God. And he says there's one body. That's Christ's body. The individual believers, all of them together, are Christ's body. And we call that the church. There's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's one hope. Hope being a confident expectation of a future event. one hope of the calling. Because God is faithful, and he has promised that he will accomplish the work that he started in us. So we have this confident expectation that one day we will, quote, be a completed work. There's one Lord, that being Jesus the Messiah. There is one faith and one baptism. And there is one Father over all and in all. Notice in this oneness that he's talking about, he mentions all three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, which also is a plural unity. Now, it's important to understand that unity does not mean uniformity. Okay? Uniformity is where everything is the same. Unity means bonded together for a common purpose. But not everyone is the same. So now he introduces this next section where he's talking about, in the midst of this unity that we have, that there is great diversity. So starting in verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So our unity is enriched by the diversity of gifts. And Jesus is the giver of the gifts. Now, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about spiritual gifts, and the Spirit is involved in the decision about what gifts go to what people. But it's quite clear that every person who declares that Jesus is Lord of his life receives at least one spiritual gift. Now, there are five different lists in the New Testament of gifts, and some are repeated and some are not, and there's a total of about 20 gifts that are listed. But the fact that the lists are different is indicative that no list is exhaustive. Now, Paul mentions specifically certain gifts here. And so we're going to explore those and get a clear understanding of what those gifts are And then we're going to talk about why God gave those gifts. So the first gift that's listed is apostles. Verse 11, he gave some as apostles. Now this, the literal Greek word for apostle means a sent out one, someone who is sent out. So when Jesus called his disciples and he sent them out into the various towns in Judea, they were sent out. Therefore, they were apostles. And when Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, the Holy Spirit told the elders in Antioch to set them aside and send them out. And they were apostles. If you look at that definition and how it's applied in most places in the scripture, you could say that modern-day missionaries and church planters fulfill that definition of apostleship. Now, the 12 plus Paul and James, the brother of Jesus, are viewed in a slightly different way, having been personal witnesses to the resurrection, and having been instructed by Jesus directly, they're given a significant amount of authority to speak for God. And so their writings are included in the scriptures. We firmly are convinced that God, through the Spirit, inspired these people to speak the truth about Christ in a way that is for us binding, as if Jesus had spoken it. So they have a special status above and beyond what you would call, quote, a regular, unquote, apostle. But let's be clear, the word here literally means ones who are sent out, which would include modern-day missionaries and church planters. So the next gift he lists are the prophets. Most people think in our culture to prophesy or to be a prophet means that you're going to foretell the future. Well, if you look at all the scriptures written by prophets, you'll find that about 5% or less of what they wrote actually talked about the future. Most of what they wrote could be categorized as sermons. They were saying, this is what God says is the right way to do. This is how you are behaving, and you need to repent and do what God says. 95% deals with that. So modern day prophets are those who basically do the same thing. And that would mean that anybody who takes the scriptures and says, this is what God says, and then compares it to how people today are behaving and says, we're not in line with what God says, we need to repent and change, is fulfilling the office of a prophet. The next thing he talks about is evangelists. Now, the scriptures say that we are all, as followers of Jesus, to be doing the work of an evangelist. We are supposed to be testifying to the truth, both in how we live and what we say, and to be providing the good news to other folks. Yet there are some people who are supernaturally gifted to be able to do this. My classic example is Billy Graham. I have a good knowledge of the scriptures, and I can talk to people like Billy Graham did, and may or may not see very many people come to the Lord. But Billy Graham, when he got up to do basically the same activity that we are all asked to do, had an overwhelming supernatural effect. Thousands of people every time would come and confess Jesus as Lord. And that's the difference between a person who is told, as we all are, to do the work of an evangelist, and those who are gifted to be evangelists. Pastors. Pastors are those who guide in spiritual development God's people. Greek word refers to a shepherd, someone who takes care of sheep. And then teachers, people who are supernaturally equipped be extremely effective in explaining and what the scriptures are actually saying and connecting the dots of a particular topic of all that scripture has to say about that particular subject. So these are the gifts that Paul lists here. And then he goes on to say what the reason for these gifts are. He says, these gifts are for the equipping of the saints. No, who are the saints? Well, the saints in the New Testament, whenever you see that word, refers to everyone who is a follower of Jesus. So you could look at people who have these gifts as saying, these are leaders in the church. Their job as leaders in the church is to train and equip all the people who are in that congregation to be able to effectively minister. The ministers are the people, not the leaders. Do the leaders engage in ministry? Of course they do. So if you're looking at people making visits to people who are shut in, that's a ministry. Don't expect the pastor to be doing that. Expect the pastor to train you to be able to do that. And what is the outcome once the leaders have equipped the people of God to be ministers, to engage in ministry? What is the outcome? The outcome is that church or the body of Christ will be built up. Now, Paul jumps down into verse 16, and he says, from whom the whole body, that's again, the whole body is the body of believers, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. First is every member of the body must fulfill its purpose and use the gifts that God has given them for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, every member. What happens if a part of your body doesn't do what it's supposed to do? You know, if your pancreas refuses to work and you don't get medical treatment, you'll die within a day. If you're same with your liver, same with your kidneys, If those guys decide that they're not going to do their job, they're just going to sit out, they're going to take the blood, and they're going to grow their cells, but they're not going to do what they're going to do, supposed to do, then the body dies. So every member, underlying the word every, must do what God equips them to do. What happens is the growth of the body. There are two ways that the body grows. Individuals become more mature, more godly, more like Christ. And as individuals and as a group, the members of the body are more effective in executing their mission, which is to live the truth and proclaim the truth about God to those around them. And when that happens, more people become followers of Jesus. Now, a key aspect of this interaction between body members is in verse 15. The verse reads in the New American Standard translation, "But speaking the truth in love." The language in the Greek is closer to being this: truthing in love. So truthing in love would be speaking the truth, living the truth, encouraging the truth, okay, doing what is true, saying what is true, but motivated by this, doing what is good for someone else, regardless of how they treat you, as the reason for this truthing. That's critically important to the success of the interactions of the body member. It's sort of like the blood. You know, the blood is everywhere in the body, carries the nutrients from the intestines, carries the insulin from the pancreas to get rid of excess sugar, carries all the various things from the other glands in the endocrine system to make sure all the other parts of the body. It's the blood that's going everywhere. It's doing all this, carrying all this. That's, I would allegorize, is like the love. Okay, it's everywhere. It's the bedrock for which all these things work together to bring about the result. So, as individual members, every one of us needs to be motivated by love, to walk in the truth, to speak the truth, and to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us for the purpose that He intended, which is to make the body stronger, more mature, and to increase the number of people who are Jesus' followers. And that's the end of today's lesson. There is a question and answer, a discussion period that follows this lesson every week. If you'd like to participate in that, you're certainly welcome to join us at 9:30 a.m. on Sundays at Sun City West Christian Church in Sun City West, Arizona, and you will be most welcome. God bless you all. Thank you.